Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey, this is Linda Cohn from ESPN, and you're listening to the ML Sports Platter.
Back with you, the ML Sports Platter, all over the major platforms like Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Deezer, and more. Make sure you download, subscribe, leave feedback, and a five-star review. Most of the listeners of the program, they get it on Apple Podcasts. If you want to get it on Apple Podcasts, it's very simple. Go to your Apple smartphone, search podcasts, and then just go down to the search button, type in ML Sports Platter, hit follow or subscribe, whatever your phone allows you to do. And you will get new and archived episodes of the ML Sports Platter with the likes of Baseball Hall of Famers, Bob Costas, Eric Wood, many best-selling authors, and a heck of a lot more, of course, here on the ML Sports Platter. All right, let's recap NFL Week 17 in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to tell you that we are brought to you by our great friends at Rosie's Corner, Burton Ace Hardware, Elevate Fitness of Syracuse, and our terrific friends over at the Vince Aguirre Consulting Group. They have leadership ability for you personally and professionally. They can help you out. Become a better leader today with all the different programs with the Vince Aguirre Consulting Group. Log on today to vcgtransforms.com. That's vcgtransforms.com. First of all, just let me say this. I really wish it this was the last week, you know, of the NFL. I don't need an 18th week. The players don't need it. The league has tried to, you know, shove this player safety thing down our throat, you know, with all the, oh, we're doing this and that and rules, you know, to protect players, and yet they add an 18th game in. Why? Because they want to make more money, and it's going, or a 17th game in, an 18th week, a 17th game, and I got news for you. This is only the beginning of it. This is only the beginning. Seriously. I mean... You know, they're going to keep adding. This game is going to go global. I have no doubt that by 2030, there's going to be one, maybe two teams outside the United States. I don't know if that's one in Canada, one in Mexico, one in London, one in Mexico. I don't know. But I think there's going to be a team outside the United States. I do. That'll represent that country, much like the Blue Jays do in baseball in Canada. But I don't need this extra game stuff. I wish it was over and done with, and we are into the postseason this weekend. But here we are. So let's go back week 17. Now, remember, no Thursday night game last week in the NFL. The Bills clinch a playoff berth. They eliminate the Falcons with a 29-15 win. Josh Allen was awful with the arm. He had three interceptions and four attempts in this game at one point, but was able to really, really, really do some great things on the ground, you know, with his legs and all the rest. And I thought, you know, look, the Bills' red zone offense, for one reason or another, it just takes so long for this team to get in the end zone. There are just so many circumstances. In this game, the Bills had the fumble, Marquez Stevenson, right? Jake Kumerow recovered it, and it was tackled in the end zone, safety. And then the Bills got the ball back, and they scored a touchdown. And if you watched the red zone sequence, Look, it was 15 plays, 69 yards, and 6:10 time. But if you watch the red zone sequence, you're sitting here going, wait a minute. You're first and 10 from the 15. Allen scrambles. Singletary runs. Allen passes short to Diggs for a first down. Now you're first and goal at the 4. This should be almost a cinch with the weapons you have in a 6'5", 230-pound quarterback. Allen throws incomplete to Knox. Penalty on Spencer Brown, ineligible downfield passer. Go back to the 9. Allen passes short to McKenzie. Okay, now you're at the 3 after a 6-yard game. Allen passes incomplete short right to Diggs. Allen passes incomplete short to Diggs. They go for it on 4th down, but they get a break after the incompletion to Diggs. Atlanta finally on that sequence. They probably had about 2-3 holds before this one. But Terrell got held, called for the penalty, the DPI, and so the Bills got it at the first at the 1-yard line. Dawkins reports eligible. Allen passes incomplete. Then Allen with a 1-yard TD rush. Nice blockade, great play call from Brian Daboll to kind of roll away and in with a wall of blockers, and the Bills took the lead. That's just one example of how much of a struggle it is for the Bills to get into the end zone once they're down in the red zone. And, you know, they got the ball back, scored 14-2. Then they had the ball back again in the second quarter. And you thought, okay, this game is about to be a blowout. Even if Josh Allen had thrown it away, it would have been 17-5 because Atlanta had gotten a field goal on a pretty solid drive, actually, after the Bills got their second touchdown. But Allen threw the pick, and you know, it led to Atlanta getting a touchdown on the Mike Davis 1-yard run. Then the Bills get the ball back. Allen throws another pick, and then Atlanta kicks a field goal. And all of a sudden, you're looking up, and if you're a Bills Mafia fan, you're a Bills Mafia member, you're going, what just happened? How are we down at the half? 15-14 Atlanta at the half. But that's when Brian Daboll took over, the ground game took over, and the defense took over. These days in the NFL are going to happen. I don't think they're going to happen often with Josh Allen. I think he's too good. But they're going to happen. You're going to have bad days. You're going to throw tons of picks. Brett Favre had these days. Plenty of quarterbacks have had these days. And what happens in football? Your team needs to pick you up because it is the ultimate, along with hockey, team sport. And that's what the Bills did. The offense, the offensive line, which was as intact as it's been all season long, with availability from John Feliciano. You had Dawkins, you had Brown. Mitch Morse has been an anchor all year at center. Bates, Darrell Williams. The ability and availability of the line was fantastic. And I thought they dominated this football game. And Devin Singletary had a great, great game. The Bills come back. They get a touchdown in the 3rd, a touchdown in the 4th, both on runs by Devin Singletary. Great drives both. 11 for 80 over 6.5+. And then 12 plays for 65 yards over 7+. And, you know, it was a ground and pound type of a game. Brian Daboll saw it. He saw where Josh Allen could maximize things, and it was on the ground. It was mixing in a couple passes here and there in the second half, which he did. Allen was 11 for 26 with 3 interceptions. He had a rating of 17. His QBR was 61.3. But Singletary and Allen and really Zach Moss, people, you know, look, he only had 5 carries, but they counted. He had 39 yards, 7.8 average, and Zach Moss was huge. He kind of reminded me a little bit of wearing down those defenses last year at Denver, you know, and at San Francisco. The Bills put together 233 yards on the ground, 110 from Singletary on 23 carries, 2 touchdowns, 81 from Allen on 15 runs, for an average of 5.4 and 2 touchdowns. And then Moss, 5 for 39, average of 7.8. McKenzie had the 1 for 3. But the Bills did what they needed to do on the ground. And then the defense, you know, the defense took over. They did a heck of a job. You know, there were just a couple splash plays by the Falcons offense. Kyle Pitts had, I think, that 61-yarder. And, you know, I'll tell you what. Taking away Cordarrelle Patterson was a big thing in this game. I mean, a big thing. The Bills, I mean, early, he started to get his, and you said, oh my gosh, is this going to be another game where the defense gets gashed on the ground? But the Bills really shored things up. to the tune of 0 points in the second half for the Atlanta Falcons. The defense was that good. Edmonds all over the place. Milano all over the place. Hayden Poyer did their thing. Ed Oliver was not good. He was great in this game. He had a sack. He was plugging holes. He was at the three technique defensive lineman on the interior. He was great. And a couple other guys to mention, too. Taron Johnson, the beat goes on with this guy. Great tackles, had a sack. And Greg Russo, he got a lot of snaps in this game. He had a sack. He had three total tackles. Three were solo. So everybody really did contribute. And the Bills had five team sacks. And the Bills were able to really fluster Matt Ryan, who holds it too long. you know, there's no doubt about that. If you saw the play where just an absolute bull rush by the Bills interior and Ed Oliver creating a lot of the havoc, Harrison Phillips recovered, and he's had a great year too. I think he's been an unsung Bill on defense. I think Mitch Morris might be the unsung Bill on offense in this season, but those are the opportunities that were there for Buffalo because Matt Ryan, you know, holds the ball a little bit. In that particular instance, he didn't really hold it that long. It was just the Bills got to him quickly. and I thought all those guys were really, really good. You know, they forced the fumble. They had a bunch of sacks. And they took out the big play and the big players. Kyle Pitts for 2 catches and 69 yards. You'll take that all day long. If you're a Bills fan, you know, he didn't have any touchdowns. You kept him out of the end zone, and then you eventually shut down on the ground and through the air Cordarrelle Patterson. So the Bills clinch a playoff berth that wasn't pretty. They played probably a B-minus game. They still won by double digits, and they found another way to win besides using Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and company, and that was the most positive thing that you can look at. And now the Bills go into this week. If they beat the Jets, they will win the division. And then we see where teams go in terms of seeding. Bears beat the Giants 29-3. Two big takeaways from this game. One, the Giants are just absolutely horrific. And Joe Judge is so bad. I can't believe they're bringing him back. How do you have the special teams gaffes that this team has when Joe Judge is a special teams guru, apparently? Also, in a losing cause. Saquon Barkley, 21 carries for 102 yards. I'm telling you right now, if I'm the Giants, I'm hoping he can run and have a really great final week, and then I'm trading this guy. Even if I can get a fourth or a fifth, I know Giant fans think I'm crazy, but the Giants need to go into full rebuild again. They really do. And, you know, look, I think the rebuild should include firing Joe Judge, but they're not going to do that. But they need to, for whatever the heck they're going to do, they need to look at trading Saquon Barkley. They blew it. They should have never taken him high like that. There were a million other better options for their franchise cornerstones. Trade him, get maybe a 4 and a 3. I don't know what anybody would give for him. Maybe, you know, you try to trade him to the Bills, honestly, or somewhere else. But try to trade Saquon Barkley. Let's see if he can get some trade value in these last couple of weeks for the G-men. The Bengals beat the Chiefs 34-31 in the most impressive win of the weekend. Joe Burrow now, I think I read he has 971 yards and a million TDs in the last couple of weeks. unbelievable. He's kind of, really, if you think about it, he's kind of a throwback guy, you know, to the 80s and the 90s. Guys like Jim Kelly, Brett Favre, Dan Marino, you know, who go out there with a confidence and a swagger that everybody in the locker room follows. You know, they believed in those guys. They believed they were going to win because they had those guys behind center. The Bengals believe because they have Joe Burrow. I mean, it's really that simple. For a team that had so many catastrophic moments and so many heartbreaking moments through the years, the Bengals are now riding Joe Burrow, and they are riding a fella by the name of Ja'Marr Chase. And, you know, there were a lot of people who wanted the Bengals to take Penei Sewell out of Oregon. Oh, you got to get the cornerstone blocker, you know, blindside type guy who keeps Burrow upright and all this stuff. But people forget that the offensive lineman can only go so far. You know, if they're growing and it takes them longer to develop, your quarterback, if he's that good, which Burrow is, he can get rid of the ball quicker. You can design plays. Zach Taylor, his coordinator, all these guys, they can design plays to get the ball out of the hands quickly from Joe Burrow to offset some of the offensive line blocking. Now, that's not to say, you know, that you don't need any blocking from the O-line. That's not what I'm getting at. You need blocking, of course, from the O-line. But Joe Burrow is a guy who I personally think can do so many things on the football field. He's great in the pocket. He can flush out and throw on the run. He can throw and beat man. He can throw and beat zone. He reads plays quickly. He can get the ball out quickly. He's got great size, the mechanics, the tools, all the stuff he's got. Just start growing the offensive line, and you've got an A number one, no doubt about it, stud wide receiver in Ja'Marr Chase. These two guys are unbelievable, man. Burrow went for 30 of 39, 446 yards and 4 touchdowns. Chase, 11 receptions, 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. Cincinnati wins the AFC North, and now the Chiefs come back a little bit off the one seed. Tennessee shoots up. That's how these things happen at the end of the year. Titans beat the Dolphins 34-3. Really, I mean, the Dolphins had won a bunch of games in a row. They're now 500, of course. But they were a due to lose, and boy, did they lose really bad. Tua Tagovailoa had an awful game. And, you know, all Mike Vrabel does is win, win, win no matter what, man. I picked this team to go to the Super Bowl. They're 7-2 at home. They might be getting Derrick Henry back. Foreman was great in this game on the ground for the Titans. The beat goes on. The O-line's been great. The defense has been improving, you know, really each and every week for the past, I would say, probably since week 10, right? Titans are formidable. They're tough. Now, you can go in there and beat them. You know, they're not, you know, nobody would mistake them for the 85 Bears or a dynasty of the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s or the Niners in the 80s or the Cowboys in the 90s. But they're a pretty good team. And Mike Vrabel wins, period, end of discussion. They play in all three phases, and they stomped on Miami in this one, 34-3. Raiders beat the Colts 23-20. What a win for the Vegas Raiders in a situation now where this week they go up against the Chargers. And the original scenario that I had heard was that the winner was going to go into the playoffs. But now there's a couple of crazy scenarios out there that work where if the Raiders and Chargers tie and a couple other clubs lose, then both of these teams will get into the playoffs. That is mind-boggling to me. I don't know if we've ever seen that. And it was funny listening on PTI yesterday about Tony Kornheiser saying, hey, wouldn't it be funny if both teams just decided, hey, let's just kneel it down and waste all the time and we'll both go to the postseason. Those teams won't do it. They're too competitive. But it's out there as an option because they'll know, you know, if that's the case because they're the Sunday night game, smartly flexed by the NFL. So something to keep an eye on. Derek Carr has been so impressive. All the adversity the Raiders have faced, the John Gruden nonsense, the scumbag move of Henry Ruggs and that situation, Derek Carr has kept the team together. And he put together some unbelievable drives in that game, most notably in the fourth quarter. And the Raiders get a field goal. Obviously, they lost a late touchdown on a replay reversal. They surrendered a lot of plays. But this was a really, really great win for the Raiders. When you think about surrendering a TD on a fluke play and committing the only two turnovers in the game, you know, I thought the Raiders really, really showed, again, in this game, what they've done all year in fighting the hardest and harshest circumstances. And, you know, I don't know how this team's 9-7. I just don't, you know. And now the Colts fighting for their playoff lives as well. Patriots 50-10 over the Jaguars. This was just every single, this was a Mike Tyson see you later in 1 minute type of thing. I mean, they were up 28-3 at the half. Trevor Lawrence, you know, look, he probably should be, and I know he doesn't have a good team, but he probably should be a little bit better than this. But the Patriots, they really got after him. They got him, you know, made him uncomfortable. He threw three interceptions. And it was really just every phase of the game was just a knockout punch for New England. I mean, it was through the air, Mac Jones off the play action from Stevenson, who was great on the ground, 107 on 19 carries for 2 touchdowns. New England, you know, still has an opportunity. They clinched a playoff berth, by the way, but they have an opportunity to do bigger things this week. We'll see what they do against Miami. We'll see what the Bills do against the Jets. There is a good chance that the Bills and Patriots could play in the playoffs for the third time this year. The Buccaneers beat the Jets 28-24. You know what? You can't even give Tom Brady less than a minute on the clock, right? At this particular point, Antonio Brown walked off and blew, you know, kisses and peace signs to the fans. And, you know, obviously there's a mental health problem there. I'm not going to dive deep into what that is, but, you know, I'm not a CTE expert. I'm not a mental health expert, but what I know from afar is that he's done this with the Steelers, with the Raiders, with the Patriots, now with the Bucks. So if it had just happened one time, maybe I'd have a different assumption here, but this is what he's done. And listen, it's a sad state of affairs. We'll see what happens moving forward. But, you know, can Tampa Bay win a Super Bowl without Antonio Brown? They probably could, but Tom Brady did what Tom Brady does best. Another game without Leonard Fournette. You know, another game missing appropriate players. Another game without Godwin. You know, Brown storms off the field, and all he does is hit Grayson for a touchdown late to win it. Johnson, you know, Rashad Perriman had a couple of key catches. I mean, that's what the guy does. And he'll continue to, I'm sure, you know, have some reps with his players, and he'll make them better, and the beat will go on. You know, I don't know if Tampa Bay is as formidable as last year, but man, they're somehow 12-4, aren't they? Good grief. I mean, they're, you know, another division championship. Like, and if Brady hangs around, they'll be here for a couple more years. No doubt. As long as he's upright, this team has a chance to win the Super Bowl. 34 of 50, 410 yards and 3 touchdowns. Eagles beat Washington 20-16. What an unbelievable stretch for Nick Sirianni and this club. Jalen Hurts. You know, I give them a lot of credit in this season. They were 2-5 at one point. They've rattled off a bunch of wins. They're a good road team. They're 6-3 on the road, 9-7 overall, and they beat Washington 20-16. Just a terrific game for the Philadelphia Eagles. They made plays when they needed to. They shut out the football team in the second half. I've been impressed with Jalen Hurts. I'm telling you, I don't know if he's a franchise guy. I think he might need another year to tell. This year, I thought, was the year, but I still don't know. Maybe they do. He was efficient, and they were able to combine a few guys on the ground, including Hurts, and they just made plays in this game. And, you know, they were down at the half 16-7, and they outscored them 13-0 in the second half. Just a lot of good adjustments, a lot of good coaching, a lot of smart plays, a lot of plays made. And the Eagles get it done. Rams win at the Ravens 20-19 in a game that kind of looked bleak for the Rams. They really couldn't get a lot going, but they ended up making some plays in the fourth quarter as well and scoring 13 points. And, you know, when they look back on this important win in Baltimore, Matt Stafford helped put the team in a quandary with 3 costly turnovers. That's where I'm going with this. Matt Stafford is absolutely positively the key to this Ravens or to this Rams team. There's no question about it. And listen, you can recall those moments, but you won't forget how Matt Stafford acted as the gritty quarterback, making the amends by really overseeing a near flawless fourth quarter that produced a bunch in this win. He threw the 7-yard touchdown pass to Odell Beckham Jr. with 57 seconds left, immediately after completing a 5-yarder to Beckham on 4th and 5. It was unbelievable what Stafford did to make amends. 5 straight wins for the Rams, but that's the bad and that's the good of Matt Stafford. And if he plays within himself, the Rams can win the Super Bowl. If he doesn't, they can lose in the first game of the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. It's that simple. Chargers beat the Broncos. And by the way, now the Ravens are kind of, hoping to get some help and win in the final week to get in the postseason. And there's no team that's been decimated by injuries more than the Ravens. They're 8-8 somehow still, with missing 5 huge cornerstone pieces, including, you know, Lamar Jackson, a host of running backs, corners galore, Peters, you name it. They missed everybody. and they're 8-8 still with a chance to, you know, if luck plays on their side, to make the postseason. Chargers beat the Broncos 34-13 in a game where it was just too much Justin Herbert, too much Roberts. And now, you know, the Chargers are really back to, you know, controlling their playoff future. They got the help from a couple of losses earlier in the day. They take care of business against Denver, and they're in the final wild card spot. They need to beat Vegas on the road. If they win, they're in. The Colts, Chargers, and Raiders all have the same record, but the Chargers currently hold the tiebreaker over Las Vegas with their victory on October 4th. I want the Chargers to make the postseason because I think it would be fun as a football fan, because you'd have Justin Herbert in it. He's one of the young, bright quarterbacks. You know, him, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. I mean, these quarterbacks are special. And it's really, 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 really great, I think, if the Chargers can get in, because they're a fun team that I think a lot of young fans can really relate to. You know, they just sling it around, score a lot of points, they're aggressive. Young fans, young players, high school players, college players, they love that style, right? I mean, Brandon Staley's a really, really bright dude. He's going for it all the time. He's got confidence in his players. Slow start for the for the 49ers, but they end up getting it done. They were down 7-3 at the half. Great adjustments, 20 points scored in the second half. And this was a game where I think the 49ers learned that, hey, we can win with Trey Lance, and maybe they are going to start him the rest of the way. Maybe they give him a shot in the postseason as well. he was really, really good, really, really disciplined. 16-23 for 249 yards and 2 touchdowns. Elijah Mitchell back in there running the football. He had an 100-yard game. Ayuk was sensational in this game as well. 4 big catches for 94 yards. Lance did have that interception, but was good overall. You look at Ayuk, you look at Deebo Samuel, you look at Elijah Mitchell, you look at George Kittle, you look at Trey Lance making plays. You got an opportunistic defense in Fred Warner, and you know, we know, obviously, the ability of so many of these players, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead. I talked about them all year long. This 49er team is a team that I would be, if I'm a Packer fan, most worried about. Because I think this team, with the ground attack, possession and control, playmakers who can get in space, you know, they can work the Packer defense down, a team that has trouble stopping the run, and a defense that can pressure Aaron Rodgers into uncomfortable situations. They do have corners and safeties who can get physical with the likes of Davante Adams and company. The 49ers, to me, are the biggest threat in the NFC to beat the Packers. They are. They're a bigger threat than the Bucs, than the Rams, because of that style and that matchup against Green Bay. Cardinals beat the Cowboys 25-22. Great game. They held them off 25-22. And, you know, I got to say, I mean, when you think about the troubles for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals that were happening, they needed a win really bad. And Kyler Murray threw 2 touchdown passes, huge, to Wesley, and they hung on to win. Murray made plays at the end. I mean, I thought he was a difference in this football game. And the Cardinals, hey, maybe they'll be back to Dallas for a wild card game here in a couple weeks, right? Because it's kind of lining up that way. but just a great win for the Cardinals, a win that they desperately needed. By the way, the Cardinals are 8-1 on the road. They are not scared to win on the road. Dallas, as everybody knows, I've been saying it the entire year, they're vulnerable because I just don't trust Mike McCarthy. Let's see what these teams do moving forward here. But Arizona, you know, look, they went through their bad stretch. Maybe they got that bad football out of them, and maybe they're back to rising a little bit here, right? Because it wasn't long ago, a few weeks ago, where people say, oh, yeah, Cardinals, well, they weren't the best team then. Some people got fooled, including me. I called them the best team, I think, 1 week. It's such a week-to-week league. But I am a firm believer that if they get hot, they could be dangerous. Maybe they got the bad football out. This win at Dallas maybe could signify something. Let's see where they go from here. Saints beat the Panthers 18-10, just a very physical game here. You know, in the Saints, I mean, you want to talk about a coaching job again. Sean Payton having this team at 8-8 reminds me of last year's Patriots team at 7-9. How do these guys do it? John Harbaugh with the Ravens, Sean Payton with the Saints, Bill Belichick with the Pats. Unbelievable stuff. And the Saints, I believe, with an outside chance. They need some help, but they got to win last game and then get some help from the outside to get into the postseason. Seahawks beat the Lions 51-29. Very simple here. The Lions are just awful. Penny, Metcalf, they pound and just absolutely obliterate the Detroit Lions. I mean, they were up 31-7 at the half. This game was over at halftime. And Russell Wilson was spectacular in this game. 20 of 29 for 236 and 4 touchdowns. And really shows you, hey, if you're the owner and GM of the Seattle Seahawks, you ain't trading Russell Wilson. You shouldn't trade Russell Wilson. What you need to do is build around Russell Wilson. And if Russell Wilson wants a new voice in there and it's not, you know, and doesn't want Pete Carroll back, then you fire Pete Carroll, you know, or don't bring him back, whatever his contract situation is. Rashad Penny still got a lot of gas in that tank. 25 carries of 170 for 170 and two touchdowns. A lot of people gave up on him. And then the rollouts and on the run, throwing darts. Russell Wilson was great in this game, flat out great. QBR of 89.2. The rating was 133.1. And, you know, Seattle just in all phases, led by Wilson, just dominated the Detroit Lions, a terrible, terrible football team. And I'll tell you what, man, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know what? This football team, they are going to regret, you know, when they look back on it, tying the Detroit Lions, aren't they? I'll get to the Steelers in a minute. Packers beat the Vikings 37-10. Just a roll job in this game. This game was over at the half, 20-3. I'm sorry, man, but again, Rodgers, Jones, Adams, they're unstoppable. The three-headed monster did it again. And in this game, actually, you could probably, the three-headed monster, that third head is actually just split between Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones had 76 yards, Dillon had 63 yards, but he had the two touchdowns. This Packer team is really, really good. They're the one seed. It's going through Lambeau. Devondre Campbell continues to impress. 8 tackles, 7 were solo. And, you know, all the injuries they've had all year on defense, no problem. You know, the beat goes on. The play calling's been terrific. You know, they really had an opportunity to pound on Minnesota because Kirk Cousins wasn't in there because of the Corona stuff. And just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful season for the Packers. I really hope this is the one where they can get back to the Super Bowl. So I think it'd be great, you know, to have an old trademark franchise with all that history. And Aaron Rodgers gunning for a second ring, I think it's just storybook stuff. Let's see what they do in the last week if they rest against the Lions. But they have a bye, so, you know, you can play guys and still get rest the week after. Let's see what they do in Week 18. Steelers beat the Browns 26-14. It was a very, very emotional game for Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, most likely his, you know, final game at home in Pittsburgh. They've obviously got one game left. The Browns knew they had been eliminated from playoff contention entering this game. Baker Mayfield, I mean, look, really stupid to have him play if you're Cleveland. I mean, this guy needs offseason surgery. He's going to miss Week 18. He's been playing injured pretty much the whole year. I don't think he's the guy even if he's healthy. He went out there and gutted it out, was absolutely awful. You know, I know the competitiveness takes over and all that, but he shouldn't have been out there, especially when you're taking hits left and right. He was sacked 9 times, okay, by the Steelers. That ain't going to help your labrum, okay? Included 4 from T.J. Watt. He's got a career-high 21 sacks, which is one short of the NFL record set by Michael Strahan in 2001. He was awful, Baker, in this game. Great stuff on the onside kick from Minkah Fitzpatrick. He recovered that. Najee Harris had the great 37-yard touchdown run in the final minute to put the game out of reach. And Pittsburgh got it done. They won with all three phases. They won with physicality. They won with, you know, running the football. Big Ben was outstanding when he had to be. The box score doesn't shine for him. I mean, he was only 24 of 46 for 123 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. That one, you know, that one touchdown to Deontay Johnson. But again, in splash plays, Big Ben terrific, but overall not so much, and that's why he really, you know, will retire and needs to retire. The end is here. He's walking in on the first ballot to Canton. He's had an unbelievable career, terrific career. Two championships, consistency, playoffs, and you know, you think back to that playoff, to that NFL draft of 2004 with Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, and Big Ben. Big Ben has risen above, and he's been the best out of that class. Eli Manning has a couple Super Bowls too, but I think Big Ben, over his career, was a better quarterback than Eli Manning. He was a guy who was harder to bring down. He was harder to stop out of the pocket. They were both super clutch in the fourth quarter and on the big stage. I mean, who can forget one of the great Super Bowl throws of all time with Big Ben Roethlisberger, Santonio Holmes, that frozen rope into the corner. You know, Eli Manning had his share of throws. I mean, the Giants front gets a lot of credit for those wins over the Patriots. But go back and look at those throws that he was making. I mean, David Tyree, he can't make that play unless Eli Manning scampers around and just chucks it up. You know, and then your receiver has to make a play, which he did. The Plaxico Burress play. I mean, it's countless with Eli Manning. He made a bunch of plays in the fourth quarter, as has Big Ben. But I think Big Ben has been a better quarterback over that time. And oh, by the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers, everything that they represent, right? Consistency, teamwork, you know, next man up, ethos, culture, all the stuff that they represent. Big Ben went in there, and he's been one of the guys in the middle of all that. So we'll see what happens, but this was probably it as far as Big Ben in Pittsburgh, and was a heck of a way to go out with a victory. And the Browns need to really figure out the quarterback situation. That's their number one goal, yet again, going into 2022. The ML Sports Platter is brought to you by our great friends at Barks and Rec Doggy Daycare, Liverpool Physical Therapy, Camillus Golf Club, and Stanley Law Offices. Together, they'll work to get you the maximum reward. And a big tip of the cap, thank you as well to the Swan and Whitaker families for their support of the program, as well as Welch & Company Jewelers. Hey, start the year off right with Welch & Company Jewelers. Bracelets, necklaces, wedding rings, engagement rings, you name it. They'll fix your watches. They've got batteries, all sorts of things A to Z. Go shop the showcase today at WelchJewelers.com. That's WelchJewelers.com. Hit me on Twitter at MikeLSports, and as I always tell you, enjoy the games.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking.
Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.